preaching your hearing, as the old preachers used to say. I repeat that, and I say that because I thought it was rather strange back then, and I think it's still rather strange, but it's one of those old traditions that kind of stick with you. I guess the preacher said that because it would be more appropriate to say I want to preach in your ears. But I guess they understood that many people hear things with their ears, but that they don't really hear. Anyway, the title of this message today is Will the Real Christians Please Stand Up? Part 2, The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 569, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 936, since January the 1st, 2016. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 22. Jesus said these startling words that should startle you, and whether you're saved or lost, they should at least cause you to examine yourself and see whether or not you be in the faith. The reason why I say that is because you're not God, and therefore you're not perfect, and you could easily be deceived, tricked, bamboozled by Satan. So examine yourself and see whether or not you be in the faith. Will the real Christians please stand up? Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Many, many, many are going to join the road of destruction. These are the words of Jesus. And then he says immediately, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And I dealt with that quite extensively the other night. If you missed that sermon, get the tape, as they say. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? These are rhetorical questions, and the answer is no. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Good fruit. Will the real Christians please stand up? If you are a real Christian, there ought to be good fruit in your life. If you have been saved a while, there ought to be some fruit. First and foremost, there ought to be some souls that have been saved through your witness. Secondly, but close behind, there ought to be some fruit in that your attitude has changed, that you are a cheerful, joyful person, that you are a stable person, that you are always abounding in the work of the Lord, and you're happy and cheerful and joyful about serving God. You will have the fruit of the Spirit flowing through you. And you will not be hypocritical about it, meaning you won't be the kind of fake Christian who turns it on around certain people and then turns it off around others. You cannot help it. It is fruit. It will explode through your life, bubbling over and overflowing out of your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. In other words, if you are a real Christian, there ought to be a difference, and people ought to know it. People ought to be able to see it, be they saved or lost, black or white, red or yellow, in the house and outside of the house. And by the way, the people who know that you're truly saved or not are in your house, not in the church. Your family members. Your family members will know if you are a real Christian or not. Your husband will know. Your wife will know. Your children will know. Your parents will know. It will be self-evident. Why? Because ye shall know them by their fruits. Some so-called Christians don't even have a fruit, much less fruits. There's no love coming out of them or emanating out of them, no joy, no concern for others. They're selfish, mean, hateful, bitter, mad, sad, depressed, disgusted. No fruit whatsoever. Will the real Christians please, please stand up? I'm talking about Christians at home and at the church and in the street. An honest, truthful Christian everywhere. Another mark of a Christian is that they will be truthful. They will be honest. It is very difficult for them to lie. And there are some so-called church members and Christians, their foreign language is lying. For some, their native language is lying. In other words, the first words that come out of their mouth every time you talk to them is a lie. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Nobody's perfect. Christians sometimes fail, but they get up. I think the songwriter said, we might fall, but we get up. Amen, somebody. The Bible writer said the same thing in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We may fail, we may fall, but we'll get up. We cannot stay down if you're born again by the resurrected one. So we're not talking about failure, whatever it might be from time to time. We're talking about you will know them by their fruits. If they can shack up and it does not bother them and they continue to do it and look at you like you're crazy, like what's wrong with that, and try to justify there's something wrong somewhere. If a person is a homosexual, they like to call themselves queers and gays, and they don't see anything wrong with that. They have never been born again. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Amen, somebody. A person who you know is lying to you, because somebody else close to them told you the truth, and they keep on lying and can lie at you and lie to you, looking you straight in your eyeballs and without any remorse, no batting of the eye, no confession of the truth, and do it consistently every day for not only days and weeks and months, but years, when you know the truth, there's something wrong somewhere. There's something wrong somewhere. Will the real Christians please stand up? Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. That's a complete statement. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. In other words, to make it a complete statement, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. And that's a fact, because Jesus said it. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. If you are a born-again Christian and you can sit there in front of your computer and look at pornography every day, and you're not bothered by it, you're not convicted by it, and you just love it, and which is empty waste of time, but you just love it with your wicked evil heart, there's something wrong. You might be tempted with it, you might look at something, you might struggle with it for a little while, but after a while, by and by, if you're a born again Christian, you've got to let that go, and you're not going to need the preacher to come by and snatch your computer out your house either. You're just not going to go to it. No, you don't have to throw your computer away. You need your computer. The computer today is like a car. You got to have it in most cases. You need to throw away your wicked heart and confess your sins and repent and trust Christ as Savior, because once you get Jesus deep down on the inside, you will start bearing good fruit. It becomes automatic. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. You are a wife for 15, 20, 25 years, you're still rebellious as the devil, stubborn, mean, hateful, say all kinds of ungodly things to your husband, same thing husband to the wife, vice versa, mean, hateful, unloving for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, 35, 40 years. There's something wrong somewhere at some point. Along the way, God will break your heart and check you and help you to become humble and just go ahead on and do what you're supposed to do as a husband and wife. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Somewhere along the way, some growth is supposed to take place. Therefore, some changes ought to be made. Not in a perfunctory, mechanical fashion, but by Jesus Christ on the inside, the Spirit of Christ on the inside, the Holy Spirit of God will make some changes in your life. You're a sorry parent. You're selfish. You're a selfish parent. You're a no good parent. You're more concerned about getting your groove on and taking care of your children. Maybe as a young Christian, you may struggle with that. But after a while, by and by, growth is supposed to take place, and God will motivate you, and God will lead you by the power of His Holy Spirit to be the father and the mother you should be. Will the real Christians please stand up? You say you are a Christian as a young person. You've been saved since the age of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and it's been 15, 20 years rolled around, and you still full of hell and the devil. There's something wrong. Maybe you will slip the Mickey. You need to be born again. You need to examine yourself and see whether or not you be in the faith. Will the real Christians please, please stand up? Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, and this is the part, I don't care who you are. I don't care how great a Christian you think you are, there's something wrong with you. You are a very arrogant somebody. If this does not make you want to at least examine yourself and see whether or not you be in the faith. For Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That means, have we not preached in thy name? And we have many on the charismatic side of the fence who use the word prophesy in thy name. And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. These are deceived, deluded people, somehow thinking they are saved by the religious works they did, that they did in the flesh and were not done by Christ in them, the hope of glory, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And God knows the difference. And even people who have discernment know the difference. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the prayer meeting this morning and for the prayers that have already gone up. And we do pray that everyone here would continue to pray without ceasing even after this service. And we thank you for your holy word. For it is deep. And in the words of my dad, Bishop Daniel White Jr., who is now home with you, it is tight, but is right. And we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that makes it plain. And we pray that in the end, religious lost people and other lost people would come to know you as Savior through the preaching of the gospel and simple faith in Christ. Not through religious works, but through trust in Christ. And encourage Christians and lead all of us, Lord, to examine ourselves and see whether or not we be in the faith. And fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to make the necessary changes in our lives that we are convicted about. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ once again. Please rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal, and sabotage, Lord, from this time. Hold these demons at bay, as you have done in the past. Place upon us the whole arm of God. Surround us with the band of your holy angels. And give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. We pray for over 3 million to come to know you as Savior. 3 million Christians to get back to you, their first love. Glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who have read or you love literature and you have studied literature in high school or college, you might recall the opening of Robert Frost's famous poem, The Road Not Taken. It reads like this: Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could. We all are familiar with the metaphor of a fork in the road. Of two roads diverging. We are familiar with the feeling of having two paths before us, knowing that we can only take one. And at some point in time, Danae, we all, if you are at least 30 years old, we all have had a fork in the road experience, at least one. And we understand that once we choose a path, we cannot go back and take the other one in most cases. Sometimes people can do that, but in most cases, that's not so. In life, that is. So what do we do? We do as Robert Frost did and stand at the fork in the road, trying to look down each path as far as we can. Many young people are at this fork right now. Many millennials are at this fork. I remember when I was at this fork so many years ago, and I was talking with my mentor one day over at his dinner table, a great man of God, and I had to make a decision. And he told me something that stuck with me. He said that one thing about it is that an 18-wheeler, if it's standing still, you can't turn it to go down any path. But as long as it is moving, you can turn it whithersoever you will. And so he encouraged me to keep on walking by faith and just follow the Lord. And that's what I did. And I, by the grace of God, chose the right path. The straight and narrow path. And so in our passage for today, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus positions his listeners at a fork in the road. A very serious fork in the road, of course. He tells us that we must make a decision between the straight and narrow way and the broad way. I've always found it interesting that in New York there's a place called Broadway. And on Broadway you have a diverse group of people. Many who are people who go contrary to the Word of God. Many different views about life. Free sex. Adultery is okay. Fornication is okay. Drunkenness is okay, partying all the time is okay, homosexuality is okay. In fact, that's in vogue on Broadway and has been for many years. Some people call the Tony Awards the Gay Awards because there's so many homosexuals involved in Broadway. so much sin that goes on Broadway. I don't know if they were trying to make a connection to what Jesus said. I doubt it. But if you go to Broadway, you will see a picture of what we're talking about here. Broadway is not the straight and narrow. There's a whole lot of entertainment, very little of which is pointing you to God and to Jesus. In most cases, it is wickedness and evil on steroids. And that's how the Broadway is that Jesus is talking about. Be that as it may, he does not for us what, or rather, he does for us what none other than the Son of God can do. He tells us where each road leads. Thank God for Jesus Christ, the plain-spoken Savior, enabling us to make a fully informed decision right from the get-go. To use a term I learned and loved from my parents up in Brooklyn, New York, not too far away from Broadway. So let's first look at the broad way. Jesus says, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. The first thing we notice, ladies and gentlemen, about this Broadway road is that it has a wide gate, and that the road itself is broad. The width and breadth of this road speaks to its inviting nature. Come on in. We're a big tent party. The door is wide open. I passed by a place that is on the Broadway the other day, and they said, come on in, free hugs available, is very welcoming. Isn't it amazing how that wicked, evil, and ungodly people, gangs and devilish people, full of hell and the devil and drugs and drunkenness and whoredom and prostitution, are more welcoming to people and more inviting to people than people who claim to be Christians. Will the real Christians please stand up? You know it's true. Gangs are like little families. You don't believe it? Just listen to the people in the gangs. They'll tell you to your face. Well, I never really had much of a family, and these folks just welcomed me in. Like a family, and they just loved me. Even though they cut my arm and made me kill somebody, but they look out for me better than my own family. Have you noticed how welcoming the homosexual community is? Oh, they'll welcome a young man in they think is on the borderline and use him up and homosexualize him and sodomize him and everything else, give him a place to stay, let them smoke marijuana mouth to mouth, drinking out of the same bottle. Before you know it, he's been raped and used and kicked out on the street. But on the welcoming side, boy, he really felt like he had found his family. But that's how the devil will do you. Very welcoming, wide gate, open door policy, come on in and get free hugs. As a person gazes down this wicked path, they see the grand sweep of a path edged by springy grass, if you will, right at the beginning. It becomes a nasty dirt road after a while. The sun is bright at the gate. The sky is blue at the gate. Oh, it's a beautiful thing right at the gate. The birds are singing. Who wouldn't want to walk down this path? Wide gate. The gate is beautiful, of course. Very deceptive, but beautiful. Broadway. Look at all of the people going in. The gate looks like Vanity Fair, scintillating. Beautiful rides are available. The people are so nice and smiling. Everybody seems so happy walking in the gate, the wide gate. The second thing one notices, beloved, about the Broadway is that there are many people on it. Many people are going in the wide gate. And Jesus says, many go in at the wide gate. Many, many. As a person looks down this path, they see friends, high school classmates. They find them on Facebook. And they ask them, are you going down to the wide gate? I'll meet you at the wide gate. Everybody's going. Old flames are there. Yeah, I'll meet you at the wide gate. We'll just pull off a little bit and do our thing, even though we're married and have a family. We see neighbors at the wide gate. We see relatives, mom and them. In fact, they have contacted everybody on the list and said, we're going to have a family reunion at the Wide Gate Park. Join us. BYOB, bring your own bottle. And we're going to play some old time jams at the Wide Gate Park. You'll see the wealthy there in droves. And well-known will be there as well, and that makes even more come. Kiss is there, looking like the devil. Elton John is there with his man-husband or man-wife or whatever you call it. It's the broad way, the wide gate. The homosexuals are there. The fornicators are there. The those who are thieves are there. As soon as they get into the wide gate, they start stealing. All walking, looking very fashionable. Running, skipping down the broad road. The person standing at the fork in the road is compelled to join in because peer pressure is a bad boy. Isn't it amazing how that a good kid seldom influences the bad kids, but the bad kids always through peer pressure influence the good kids? That's why the Apostle Paul said evil communications corrupt good manners. That's why the Bible tells us we ought to separate from those who are evil. and who are rebellious and stubborn and who are walking down the broad way. Because, and God wanted that in there because many Christians are deceived and are pressured by peer pressure to go the wrong and evil way. It looks like everyone is having fun and they don't want to be left out. That's what's wrong with social media today among the young. I'm on social media everywhere, but I use it strictly to preach the gospel. So many young people. One young person said the other day, we're on the phone so much, we're on our little devices so much, we don't even say hello to each other as we walk by. We can be texting each other, walking by each other, and won't even say hello verbally to each other because we're saying hi and everything else on the phone. We don't even see each other. And this is how many folk get on the broad road today through social media. Everybody else is doing it. I saw a picture of the wide gate on Instagram, and it was crowded, man. That's the jam, man. That's the place right there. That's where it's happening. I got to get down to the wide gate. You know, they're having a concert down there. I saw Jay-Z down there, the wide gate. But I didn't see Beyonce. But I saw Jay-Z singing, I got 99 problems. So man, that's my jam. I got to get down to the wide gate concert. But Jesus tells us one other thing about this path. He who can see the end from the beginning tells us that the broad way leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Destruction. The person standing at the fork in the road can't see that miles and miles ahead once the Broadway has swung far out of sight. For it drops off suddenly, ending in a cliffhanger situation for real and a tragic fall to a raging inferno in the valley below called destruction, called hell in the lake of fire. Ladies and gentlemen, regarding this broad road, Dr. John MacArthur Jr. said, the way that is broad is the easy way, the attractive way, the inclusive way. There's a whole lot of talk about being included today, indulgent way, permissive way, and self-oriented way of the world. There are a few rules. You know, we don't like rules today. People hate rules. That's what's wrong with our society. Few restrictions and few requirements. You can let it all hang out on the Broadway. All you need do is profess Jesus, or at least be religious, and you are readily accepted in that large and diverse group, no matter what kind of sin you are involved in. Sin is tolerated, truth is moderated, and humility is ignored. God's word is praised, but not studied, and certainly not obeyed. And his standards are admired but not followed. This way requires no spiritual maturity, no moral character, no commitment, and no sacrifice. It is the easy way of floating downstream right on straight into hell. It is the tragic way which seems right to a man, but whose end is the way of death and destruction. So that is where the broad path leads, my beloved. Destruction, death, and hell in the lake of fire. By all means, avoid the wide gate and the broad road. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and go down the straight and narrow road. Can somebody say amen? Isaac Watts wrote many years ago, "Broad is the road that leads to death, and thousands walk together there. But wisdom shows a narrow path, with here and there a traveler. Deny thyself and take thy cross is the Redeemer's great command. Nature must count her gold but dross if she would gain that heavenly land. The sinful soul that tires and faints and walks the ways of God no more is but esteemed almost a saint, yet makes his own destruction sure." Dear friend, are you at the wide gate? Are you on the broad road? Well, you can get off that road today by trusting Christ as your Savior. And you can get on the straight and narrow road. In the words of my dad, Bishop Daniel White Jr., the straight and narrow road is tight, but is right. And it ends in eternal life. So, dear friend, if you're with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him today for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is the destruction that Jesus Christ is referring to. Hell is a bad place, and hell is bad news. Destruction, eternal destruction, is bad news. But I have some good news for you, uttered by none other than Jesus Christ. For he said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins. Danae was buried and rose again by the power of God. And all you have to do is trust in him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And pray and ask him to save your soul. And he will save you. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to be saved. And you have God's promise that if you trust in Jesus Christ with all of your heart and pray and ask him to save you, he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Savior. I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the Sinner's Prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have dishonored and disrespected my parents. I have coveted and lusted after people and things that don't belong to me. I have stolen things. I have lied before. And I've committed other sins and broken your other commandments as well. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my wicked ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for His sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send to you immediately via email. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.